Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. I trust you were with us yesterday when we played the word of the Lord that came through Justice Duplessis in 1996 to Eagle Mountain International Church. You heard pastors Terry and George Pearson's telling you what message God gave. Now, if you missed it, you can go online and get this on our billybrim.org. You can replay yesterday's broadcast, or better yet, you can order our recent eschatology school on the book of Daniel. The Lord told us through a word of the Lord that it was important to study the book of Daniel, every verse, every nuance, what God is saying to us. And so we did that. We did a recent eschatology school, and now here on radio, we're going to study the book of Daniel. Now, just to give you a background on the book of Daniel, we talked yesterday about the fall of man, about the flood, how it came, about how the Gentile nations rebelled against God, and Nimrod started the kingdom of Babel. No one ever had a monarchy before him. He started the world system called the Babylonian system that is against God. Of course, God then raised up Abraham and his children to reveal God to the nations of the world. But they didn't obey God as they should have. The Lord planted them right in the promised land where they were to reveal God to the nations. But he said, you're going to reveal me one way or the other. If you don't reveal me, Deuteronomy 28:14, by staying in this land and revealing my blessings, then Deuteronomy 28:64, I'm going to scatter you throughout all the earth. And of course, that great scattering we know has come to pass. Every place it's mentioned in the Bible, it tells us that in the last days, just before he sets up the messianic kingdom in the earth, he will call them back home. And he's doing that right now in our time. But we're going back to the time of the book of Daniel. What has happened? Well, the kingdom that came from Abraham and his family, and that came down through Jacob and his 12 sons, and that became the kingdom of Israel. You know that they were in Egypt, and then they came back to the promised land, and eventually the kingdom was established. It grew to its glory days under David, King David, and his son Solomon. But after Solomon died, his sons argued, the kingdom was divided, the people were caught up into idol worship, they had wicked leaders, their priests were wicked, and the Lord sent them the word of God through the prophets. The prophets who came to tell them they were missing it were Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Isaiah prophesied early on. He prophesied before. Now, when they divided, when these kingdoms divided, there were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, and they came to be called at that time Israel. There were 2 tribes in the southern kingdom, and they came to be called Judea. The tribe of Levi, they were the priesthood, were scattered throughout all the tribes. But in the southern kingdom, we have the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, and then the priestly Levitical tribe that was among them. The northern kingdom was carried away by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Their sin was greater, and it brought judgment up on them early. Judea, the two southern kingdoms, the two southern tribes, they were, of course, we said Judah and Benjamin. They were trapped between two superpowers of the day who were in competition with each other. Now, to the north, there was Babylon. To the south, there was Egypt. And in their rebellion against God, Judea became subjugated under Egypt. But not long after that subjugation, Babylon started pushing against Egypt and Nebuchadnezzar. And he swept across the nations in those days, began to build the great Babylonian kingdom. He swept across Judea, and he took subject their king, Jehoiakim. After 3 years of vassalage, having to pay taxes and being under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Israel revolted Jehoiakim. And when he did, Nebuchadnezzar sent his army to put down the rebellion and strengthen its control over Judea. He then also took away many vessels of the temple, not all of them. He took away some of the temple's vessels, which we read in Daniel chapter 1. He did not take away the Holy Ark. The Holy Ark was hidden, and I'm going to read this to you from the Art Scrolls translation. And this is from the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, and its vessels remained. They had been hidden previously by Josiah, king of Judah, and the prophet Jeremiah. I go to Israel all the time, and there we deal with the people who are getting ready to rebuild the temple, and they know by modern technology as well as by their holy writings that the tabernacle, these holy things were hidden and they were not there. So they took away some of the vessels. That's going to be key later on when Belshazzar sees the writing on the wall because he had mocked God and drunk out of the holy vessels 70 years later. But right now we're at the beginning. And so Nebuchadnezzar carries away some of the vessels from the temple, and he took away 10,000 of Judea's brightest and smartest people. By taking away its best and brightest, he assured himself they could not rebel again. He would crush their morale, and he would use the brain power of the Jews. Now, among these that he carried off were Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They were very young. Daniel was, the Jews guess he was around 20 or younger. They say that the three Hebrew children could not have been over 15 because they are called Yeledim. The Hebrew word for boy is Yeled, a girl's Yelda, and children are Yeledim. So they call them Yeledim until they're about 15 years old. So we read in verse 3, the king Nebuchadnezzar, this is Daniel chapter 1 verse 3, the king Nebuchadnezzar spoke unto the master of his eunuchs that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes. So he took what the Jews called the seed royal. He took the young men who were of the family of the Davidic king's line. Actually, they were children and they were offspring of Hezekiah and that line. Especially we know that so of Daniel, and we think of the others. And they took these seed royal over and took them to the king's school. We studied about that last Friday. And there, Daniel held himself holy before God. He would not eat of the king's food. You know that he requested pulse. And according to the Jews, pulse is seed. It's beans. It's rice. And it probably was not cooked. It probably was raw. And then they had said, oh, we can't do this. He had refused. It was very brave of him to refuse the food from the king's table. But he refused it, and God honored him. And then when the end of the king's school came after 3 years, verse 17, chapter 1, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the days, the king had said he would bring them in. The prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, they were not only tested in their oral examination at the 3 years King College against their own peers. The king found they were brighter and smarter than all the teachers and astrologers and everything they had in the land of Babylon. And so, as he brought them in to test them, I know Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, I came up under him, you know, and when he was sick for... He was born sick, and then he became bedfast when he was for 17 months, I believe it was, when he was about 17 years old. He came off that bed of affliction, as he called it. He had missed lots of school, and so he was behind in his studies. He found this scripture here, that in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king found them 10 times smarter. he read verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Brother Hagin, on his way to school, he said he was as tall as he ever was in his life, and he weighed only 89 pounds. He was weak, having been healed off that, what he called the bed of affliction. But every day going to school, he would say this out loud. God gave them knowledge and skill in all wisdom and learning. God is giving me wisdom and skill in all knowledge and learning. God is making me 10 times smarter. And then he would go over to John chapter 1, which it says, in him was life, speaking of Jesus, and that life is the light of men. And Brother Hagin would prophesy, would say aloud, he is my light. He is the light of my life. He is making me 10 times smarter. He is giving me knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Brother Hagin said he never had had it before, but suddenly it became possible for him to read a page in the history book and then to almost quote you that page. God gave him photographic memory, you might say. So though these things seem to go back to the book of Daniel, God never changes. If he made them 10 times smarter, he'll make you 10 times smarter. If he gave them wisdom in learning in all areas, he can make me, Billy Brim, have wisdom and knowledge and what to do. Let's say in economics in these days, when the economics, see, I can tell you so many cases I know of Christians that are prospering right now past any time they've prospered in a long time. And you know, we can just say of the Lord, he is giving me knowledge and skill in finances. He's giving me knowledge and skill in how to meet day-by-day pressures. Praise the Lord. He is making me 10 times smarter than I ever was. Well, praise God for that, and we thank him for it. I would like you to get, we here on the radio, you know, we just have actually total of 13 minutes and 30 seconds with you each day. And I would like, I questioned myself whether I was going to do it because we went into such detail in the eschatology school that we just had in April. We did 4 days, 6 hours a day teachings. Many days I would go over. We have PowerPoints. We have pictures. We have things for you to see. We have things that I'm not going to share on the radio. And for those DVDs and a workbook. Now, we may not have that workbook available for you right when you call. But as soon as it's ready, we'll take your name and address and we will send you that workbook. So for $250, you can get our eschatology school on the Book of Daniel done April 2009. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can go online, billybrim.org. You can write us, too, at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, and enclose an offering. That would be a great thing to help us here with our radio broadcast. Also, you can click online and give us, there's online giving. We do thank you for supporting us. I'm getting ready to make a trip around the world, and we'll need to count on you to keep the radio program going, to keep everything going, the bills paid, the people paid. Praise the Lord. Shalom, shalom. This is Billy Brim.